to human health now and mouth and throat cancers. Traditionally, these have been largely associated with using tobacco products. But in the last 20 years, the incidence of the diseases has doubled, especially amongst young people. And scientists studying the tumours have found an unexpected change. Over 90% of them contain the genetic signature of the human papillomavirus, HPV, which is much more commonly associated with causing cervical cancer in women. Scientists think that people having oral sex is spreading the virus to the mouth, where it then triggers tumours in the same way that it does in the cervix. Mara Gillison is from Ohio State University and was one of the first people to spot this trend.
In 2000, we published the first compelling research that HPV is a cause of oropharynx cancers. And in 2007, we published a study in which we compared the behaviors of people with cancer to the behaviors of people without cancer. And we found that oral sexual behavior was associated with risk of oropharynx cancer. In that study, we estimated that an individual with an oral HPV-16 infection had about a 15-fold increase in risk for oropharynx cancer. The fact that most of these cancers occur in men, we're trying to increase awareness that HPV is not solely a problem for the women of the world, that the men of the world need to wake up and recognize that they are also at risk for cancers caused by HPV infection.
So the same forms of HPV, because it's quite a big family of viruses, isn't it, can translocate from one bit of the body, be applied to another, and they're equally pathogenic there.
Right. HPV is a very unusual virus in that it doesn't travel through the bloodstream. It's spread by direct human-to-human contact. So an individual can become infected in their intergenital region from an infected partner. And depending on their behaviors, that infection can also be transferred to the oral cavity.
How do you know, or what's the evidence, that these tumors are now being caused by HPV and weren't before?
Well, that's a very good question. What we know from the United States is that as of about 2005, 64% of oropharynx cancers are caused by HPV infection. We also know that in the United States, over the last 20 years, the incidence of these cancers has increased by approximately 200%. We do not know, through direct measurement of tumors over calendar time, that that increase is caused by HPV in the United States. However, our colleagues in Scandinavia have shown from their tumor banks that in the 1970s, about 23% of tonsil cancers in Stockholm had HPV in them, and by about 2005, that had increased to 93%, so a 70% increase over a pretty short period of time.
What about if something else was making the cancers happen in the mouths of the individuals who are affected, and those cells being abnormal are more vulnerable to getting infected with HPV, and if people are just having more oral sex, which is transmitting it, that maybe the effect you're seeing is just because the HPV sees more cells it can infect, so you detect it?
Right. I think the question you're asking me, is there any evidence that HPV is there but not really the cause? And we've been able to demonstrate that the HPV is really specific to the tumor and that the tumor and the virus have what's called a clonal relationship. If you look at each tumor cell, it has the same HPV in it, and it's often integrated into the genome and integrated in the same place, indicating that there was one kind of preceding event, and then that clonal outgrowth turned into the tumor. We can look at it also visually, because we've now developed very sensitive techniques for looking actually for the presence of the virus specifically in the tumor, and we can create these beautiful pictures of the pathology showing the actual HPV in the nucleus of each tumor cell and not anywhere else in the surrounding normal tissue. So it's now accepted that the virus is indeed present in these tumors, that it's causal, and it's not just a passenger or coincident infection.
Why has the rate gone up so much in men but less in women?
That is the multi-million dollar question of the hour. We really don't understand why that is. We do know from women that hormonal influences do dramatically affect what happens to an HPV infection in the anogenital canal. So given gender is really the most profound hormonal difference in humans, we really do wonder whether or not the natural history of infection might be different by men or women. The alternative explanation is that sexual behavior differences in men and women may account for it. In support of that is all of the studies we've done to date looking at infection. Men have about a threefold increase in risk of oral infection compared to women, and that's about the ratio of men to women with a cancer, about 3-1.
Do you think that men being circumcised makes a difference? Because it protects the female partner against cervical cancer. So if the person is shedding less HPV because they're circumcised, it might mean that their partner is less exposed.
That's a great hypothesis. It's clear from research now, both from randomized controlled trials and observational studies, that men who are circumcised have fewer infections and are less likely to transmit those to their sexual partners. But all of those outcomes have been genital infection. We don't yet have any data showing that women who have partners who are circumcised versus those who are not are at reduced risk for acquiring an oral infection while performing oral sex on either a circumcised or uncircumcised male.
What about prevention? Okay, you've identified there's a problem. We can screen for these viruses to a limited degree, but what about the vaccines and things like that? Are we in a position to do something about this?
I've been very interested in trying to find out if the currently available HPV vaccines could prevent oral HPV 16 infections. No one in the field believes that you can get an oral cancer caused by HPV 16 without having a preceding infection. So if you could demonstrate that the vaccines were effective in preventing an individual from acquiring an oral HPV 16 infection, then it's logical to believe that then that person would be protected against oral cancers. Unfortunately, those studies that were planned have been canceled. It was a business decision on the part of the vaccine manufacturers. So I think at this point, what we'll have to do is observe populations like in Australia, where the government recognized these vaccines as potentially important as cancer prevention. They made a very aggressive decision to vaccinate boys and girls in schools and did so with tremendous efficiency, so that now in the target age range, about 80% of Australian girls and boys in the vaccine targeted age have been vaccinated. So I think, unfortunately, at this point, we're going to have to get information on how the vaccines might reduce oral cancer through passive observation over the next 15, 20, 30 years. Hopefully what we'll see in Australia is they've made an excellent decision for prevention of oral cancers in boys and girls.
Let's hope so. Mara Gillison from Ohio State University.
Bringing the facts to bear. The Naked Scientists.